Hello, how you doing? My name is Kiwan Fawcett. I'm the church planter and pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we would like to welcome and thank you for taking the time to join us. We pray and hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the word of God today that is going to go forward. We ask that you consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help send the message of the gospel around the globe. And you can do this by subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos, and sharing those videos with others. So again, welcome and blessings to you. Today, we're going to continue our sermon series that we've started 5 weeks ago entitled Damaged But Not Destroyed. If you have not had an opportunity to listen to or watch all the previous four videos, we invite and encourage you to do so. We'll make sure we include those links in the description box for you so that you can watch or listen to those other messages. And so last week's message was entitled, What Are You Doing Here? And in that message, we focused on the prophet Elijah and how now he finds himself inside a cave on Mount Sinai. And while he's here at this cave, God poses a question to him. And God doesn't ask him these questions just once, but God asks him two times, What are you doing here? A question that we will see today that the prophet responded in a very, I'm not going to say a peculiar, but a very interesting manner in his response. And so today we're going to continue and pick up from where we left off last week. Let's go ahead and look at our focus passage of scripture, which is 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to, we're going to look again, as I said, at verses 9 through 14. And here's what the word of the Lord says. It says, There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, being Elijah, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. I want you all to listen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper or a gentle voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? This is the second time God poses this question. And look at Elijah. He responds exactly how he responded before. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, Oh, I'm sorry, you all. Let me pause because I'm stopping at verse 14. I don't want to get ahead of myself because we intend to deal with verses 15 through 20 next week as we close out the sermon series. And so today, as we continue this sermon series on damaged but not destroyed, I want to speak on the subject of positioned in his presence. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Positioned in his presence. I'm here to tell you today that sometimes in order for you to receive what you are seeking to receive from God, you have to position yourself in his presence. And when I say that, you all, my mind cannot help but think of the New Testament biblical story when the Bible says that Jesus was entering into the city of Jericho There was a crowd of people everywhere, because whenever Jesus entered into a city or a town, when he became known and his notoriety was widespread for what he was able to do, the needs of the people that he was able to meet, heal the blind, heal the lepers, heal those with physical infirmities, people packed out these places and they were trying to get to Jesus. And I'm being reminded that in that biblical story, the biblical narrative says that there was a man named Zacchaeus who heard that Jesus was passing by. And the Bible says that this man has some limitations. The scripture says that he was a man of short stature. But praise be to God that this man did not allow his limitations to eliminate him from having the opportunity to be able to position himself in the presence of God himself, that is being Jesus. The Bible says that Zacchaeus saw the crowd and he could not get through. And so this man ran, you all, he ran and climbed up a sycamore tree. And all of this because he had an insatiable desire and appetite to see Jesus. Oh, how I wish that we, and notice I said we, because I dare not exclude myself. Oh, how I wish we would have that type of relentless perseverance and that spirit of fervor where we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to position ourselves in the presence of God. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus, as he was positioned in that tree, right where he was, Jesus came to the exact spot and looked up. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I will be staying in your house. That happened because Zacchaeus positioned himself in his presence. Even though he did not know that Jesus was the Son of God, this man positioned himself in his presence. And so again, when we are willing to do that, God, I believe, will speak to us in some very unique ways, some very unorthodox ways, but we have to be willing to listen to the sound. See, sometimes when God speaks to you, you have to be in a position where your ear is tuned to hear if he whispers to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Spirit. If he whispers to you, you have to be able to hear it. Sometimes God may not come and speak to you loud and clear, you all. Sometimes, as the text says, he may come with a whisper. But you have to be able to have your ear tuned to hear the whisper. So in this text, again, the Bible says that while Elijah is in this cave, we know why he's in the cave, you all. Go back and listen to the prior messages or read the prior passages of scripture. He's in this cave because he's on the run. He's running for fear of his life from Queen Jezebel. Remember, prior to being in this cave, the Bible tells us he was under a broom tree in the desert, in the wilderness, where he positioned himself not to be in the presence of God, but he positioned himself to be killed. For the prophet said, as he prayed to God, Lord, just take me out and kill me. But God didn't do that. God began the process of restoring and renewing the prophet, because he still wanted Elijah to understand, I still desire to use you. There's still work for you to do. And I'm here to tell you right now, whoever is watching this, God says there is still work for you to do, despite you being damaged with disappointment, despite you being discouraged, despite you being damaged with depression. God says there is still things that I want to do in you and through you for my glory. So as he was under that broom tree and he prayed to God, the Bible says he went to sleep. And while he was asleep, the Bible says that the Lord allowed an angel, or God sent an angel to come and encourage the prophet. He encouraged him by giving him food to restore him physically, had something to drink to restore him. And the prophet encouraged him to get up and eat. And then the angel told the prophet, prophet again a second time, get up and eat, for the journey is long and you need your strength. And so the prophet leaves from being in the wilderness. Now he goes from the wilderness. Now he's at Mount Hebron or Mount Sinai, and he's inside of a cave. And while he's inside of this cave, no doubt, according to the biblical narrative, wallowing around in self-pity, feeling sorry for himself, feeling defeated, feeling like a failure in the midst of all of this, God shows up, and the Bible says that the word of the Lord comes to him. And I want you to see, and I want you to realize and understand that of all the things God could have said and spoke to the prophet, so many things he could have said, God could have told him, Elijah, what in the world are you doing? Get back out there on the battlefield. Go back to where I had you. You still have work to do. God didn't say that. God simply posed a question to the prophet, a question that caused the prophet to do some self-reflecting. See, sometimes in your quiet time with God, God will pose some questions to you, to your spirit, because God wants to get you cognitively to start thinking through some things. God wanted the prophet to understand and for him to walk down memory lane as to how did you arrive in this state, Elijah? Because he wants the prophet to understand you're here because of your own negligence. You're here because you gave in to fear rather than you exercising faith. Now that right there would preach. Somebody needs to, you need to type in the comment box right now that as we walk with God, don't give in to fear. We have to make sure we exercise faith. And the Bible says that when God came to him, he asked him this question. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He called him by his name. What are you doing here, Elijah? That causes the prophet to have to do some self-reflecting. See, some of us need to learn how to do some self-reflecting. Oh, yes, I'm about to get ready to come down some of our avenues, because some of us have failed to realize that you are where you are right now because of the decisions that you have made. Now, see, that right there done got some people mad, and you done turned me down rather than turn me up. I'm going to repeat myself again. And please know that when I say what I say, I'm preaching to myself as well. You are where you are right now in your life because of the decisions that you made. Stop blaming other people and accept responsibility for the decisions that you made. God didn't make you do it. The devil didn't make you do it. You made those decisions on your own, just like Elijah made the decision when he received the message from Jezebel's messenger that they were going to, that she was going to come and kill him. The Bible says that out of fear, he got up and ran, didn't consult with God at all. He did that on his own. So there comes a time in our relationship with the Lord that when we find ourselves in the cave of disappointment, in the cave of discouragement, in the cave of depression, God is going to begin to speak and to minister to you. And sometimes before God can provide healing, help me, Holy Spirit, before God can provide renewal and to restore you, God has to ask some questions so that you can come to the realization that you are where you are because of what you have done. God is trying to get you to humble yourself, to recognize that you have to depend on him and not yourself. Listen what the prophet said, you all, when he was asked a question of why are or what are you doing here, you all. Listen to his response, you all. I want you to listen. We're talking about being positioned in his presence. The Bible says this. He said, and this is the prophet, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. I want you to listen to what he said, you all. God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And from this statement, it appears that the prophet is somewhat bragging or boasting on his level of spiritual commitment. Watch this. As it relates to the other people inside the land, you're going to see this. See, this is what happens when we have been damaged, you all, with disappointment, discouragement, and depression. confession. We fail to accept responsibility for our own actions, and we begin to try to compare ourselves to other people or try to make ourselves look good in the eyesight of God as we're trying to minimize other people in terms of what they're doing. We try to compare ourselves and our spiritual journeys to others. Don't you compare yourself to anybody else's spiritual journey except for Jesus. That's who we are supposed to compare ourselves for, before the Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It was the apostle Paul who said that I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I am pressing forward or reaching forward to the high calling of the mark in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the standard whereby we are to live up to. If you're going to use any stick to measure your spiritual vitality, your spiritual growth and development, it needs to be Jesus and Jesus himself. Y'all better walk with me right now. So the prophet, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. Zealous meaning, Lord, I've been committed to you. I've done everything that you have asked me to do. My level of spiritual commitment is up here. Then listen what he goes on to say, you all. He says, for the people of Israel. Now, I want you to, again, remember the question that God asked him. He didn't ask him about the people of Israel. He asked him, what are you doing here? But Elijah has to put in all of this fluff and make these excuses before he get to the real reason. But listen what he says, you all. He says, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. In short, Elijah tell God, he says, Lord, the people are not living right. They crooked as a roach leg. They have forsaken the covenant, the same covenant that you made with our ancestors on this same mountain. Isn't that something, you all? Is that ironic? That Elijah is having a conversation with God, and he brings into this conversation how the people in the nation of Israel, more specifically the northern kingdom, that they have forsaken God's covenant, the same covenant that the people made with Moses at this same mountain where Elijah is. So he tells God, he said, the people have forsaken your covenant. That is, they're not living according to your commandments. Then he goes on and says, not only that, but they have thrown down your altars. What this means and what he's calling reference to is, Lord, they're not worshiping you in the right way. Their hands are stained with blood, and not only with blood, but they are worshiping false idols. They've gotten rid of the authentic worship that should be in the land, and they replaced it with idol worship. So he says, they have thrown down your altars, desecrated them. Then he says, and they killed your prophets with the sword. So then the prophet says, not only have they forsaken your covenant, not only have they thrown down your altars, but Lord, they've gone so far as to kill your very servants who serve as your mouthpiece, who you send to speak a word to let them know what thus saith the Lord, and that they should repent of their sins and turn back to you. Elijah says they killed the prophets with the sword. Then Elijah finally, now he gets to himself, you all. He says, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Still, in all of that, he didn't answer God's question, which was, what are you doing here? His answer should have been, Lord, I'm here because I was afraid, I was frail, I was weak in my faith, and because of fear, I ran. But he doesn't say that. See, the prophet finds himself in this predicament emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, where he, how can I put this? Where he thinks that he's the only one left in the land who is worshiping God the right way. Oh, y'all better walk with me while I come down your alley. Have you ever been living a life as you seek to please the Lord? You spend time in the Word. You set a quiet time to meet God. You pray. You follow the kingdom principles that are set throughout Scripture. You apply them to your life as the Word of God says, as over in James, he says, let us not only be hearers of the Word, but doers. Let us not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. We want to make sure that we are not just hearing the Word, but that we are doing the Word. You give towards the work of the Lord so that you can see the kingdom of God be advanced and people be impacted in positive ways. You do all of these things. And have you ever done those things, you all, and just felt as you look around that you're the only one that's doing these things? You're the only one in the church that you go to, that you're connected to, or the ministry that you're connected to. You're the only one that's living the Christian life the way it's supposed to be living. Basically, in short, what you're saying is that I'm the main spiritual giant who's doing things the way that God intends for them to be. And what I'm here to try to tell you is that when a person has been damaged with disappointment, discouragement, and depression, it brings about a warped or a distorted perspective of yourself, whereby you can become self-righteous if you're not careful. Remember, this was the knock against the Pharisees, you all. This was the knock against the Pharisees, that they were not able to recognize and see the error of their ways. They always tried to compare themselves to the other people. And what they did was they would maximize or elevate themselves at the expense of bringing somebody else down low. This is what Elijah is doing. Elijah thinks that he's the only one left in the land who's following the word of the Lord. And I know sometimes you all, let me tell you, I'm going to tell y'all like this. Sometimes it gets lonely on this spiritual walk with the Lord. Can y'all type down in the box if you understand what I'm saying? Can you just type in the comment box and say, Pastor, I'm with you. Sometimes it gets lonely. And Lord knows I've had my moments of weaknesses where I have felt like, Lord, I'm the only one doing what needs to be done to see the work of the Lord move forward. And that's just not true. But that's what can happen when our thinking becomes distorted and warped. You begin to think self-righteously. You begin to think within yourself that you're the only one that's living a life that's pleasing to God. And then God has to check you. So watch this, you all. Now, after he said these things, notice God doesn't get in no argument with him, you all, because God is not going to argue with you. He's not going to argue with me. He's God, and he's beneath that. But what God will do is he will give a directive. Oh, y'all better walk with me right now. God gave a directive, which means he gave a commandment to the prophet. And the prophet had a choice to either listen to the command and obey it, or to not obey it. Listen what God told the man of God in verse 11. He said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. Oh, y'all better help me, Holy Spirit. What God is telling the prophet is, okay, you've been in this cave. Now, the text does not tell us how long he's been in this cave, wallowing around in self-pity, in his disappointment, discouragement, depression, and despair. We don't know that. It could have been 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4. We don't know. What we know is that he's in this cave. And while he's in this cave, the Bible said, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. What God is calling the prophet to do is God is saying, okay, you've been in this cave long enough. What I need you to do is I need you to come out and position yourself. Help me, Holy Spirit, in my presence, because God had something that he wanted the prophet to experience. And the reason God wanted him to experience this is because the prophet has no idea what God's ultimate purpose is, to why he is allowing or why why God is communicating with him and speaking with him. He don't understand why God has asked him two times, what are you doing here, Elijah? He doesn't understand why God is giving him the directive that says, go and stand before the mount of the Lord. God is doing all of this because God is trying to work up to get the prophet to understand, I am trying to restore and renew your faith and your confidence in me so that you can get back out and complete the assignment and the calling that I have on your life. Oh, I just stopped by to tell somebody today that the devil wants you to abort. Let me repeat that again. The devil wants you to abort. He wants you to terminate. He wants you to stop the assignment and the calling that God has on your life, you all. I'm trying to tell you right now, the daily issues and problems and circumstances and the giants that we deal with on a daily basis, do you not know that the enemy wants to see those things frustrate you? He wants to see those things drain your faith, drain my faith. He wants to see those things get you wrapped up in spiritual bondage, whereby you find yourself in the cave of disappointment, in the cave of anxiety, in the cave of fear, in the cave of discouragement, in the cave of depression. But I stop by to tell somebody today that God is speaking to you right now. God said, come out of that cave of disappointment and discouragement and despair. And I need you to position yourself in my presence. God told Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Woo! And Elijah was obedient. He listened, you all. He listened. That's one thing I can say, despite the faults and the hangups of the prophet, we see as God is seeking to restore and renew him, at least he is listening to what God is saying and he's obeying these directives as he's seeking to be reconnected and restored back to God. Look, you all, the text says this. Y'all stay with me, y'all. We're almost done. The text says this. The text says, God says, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind. I want you all to notice these physical theophanies, and we're going to talk about what that word means and what's a theophany. But I want you to notice this, and I want you to notice the reaction to what occurs on account of God's presence being in this place. It says, and behold, the Lord passed by. Let me tell you something, you all. When the Lord passes by, you better believe that his presence and his glory will have an impact, and his presence as he passes by will be known. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. Oh, I'm being reminded in the New Testament that it was Jesus who was passing by on the roadside. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. The Bible says there was a blind man. If I'm not mistaken, the text says his name was blind. He was Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, if I'm not mistaken. And as Jesus was passing by, the Bible said the man heard a commotion. He heard the crowd. He heard people talking. And the Bible says that the man discovered and found out that it was Jesus who was passing by. And when the man understood who was passing by. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that the man essentially, he positioned himself, finger snaps, in his presence. The Bible says he lifted up his voice and began to cry out and to shout to Jesus, and other people tried to mute this man's voice, but the man only got louder to the point where he got the Lord's attention. And the Bible says, Jesus says, bring that man to me. And they brought the man to Jesus, and Jesus asked him a question, you all. Isn't that something? God liked to ask questions because it's in asking questions where God is able to really find out what our motives are and where our heart is. Jesus asked him, what can I do for you? The man said, Lord, I simply want to see again. And according to his faith, the Bible says that Jesus restored the man's eyesight and he was able to see once again. Why are you bringing this up Pastor, I'm bringing it up because understand, whenever God passes by, there's always going to be an impact. Oh, somebody say that. Type that in there. Whenever God's presence shows up and passes by, there's always going to be an impact to demonstrate that God is in the house. Woo! That's a sermon right there, you all. The Bible says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. You all listen. Just by him passing by, look at the impact the Bible says that his presence has on this mountain, you all. It says a strong wind tore the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Now, we don't know to what degree. And to be honest with you, it really doesn't matter. It's just the fact that him passing by in his presence caused this type of experience. Then it says, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Now watch this, you all. A theophany. In the Bible, there are a number of different biblical accounts whereby God manifests himself in a specific form. And this refers to as a theophany. For example, when God first appeared to Moses, he did so through the physical manifestation of a theophany. And that theophany was a burning bush. If you remember the story, the scripture says that Moses was on the backside of the mountain, and this is what is referred to as Moses's call story or his call into ministry. And as Moses was on this mountainside, the Bible says he saw something. He saw a bush on fire, but the bush was not being destroyed or consumed. Now, we know in the natural, if you take a match and you go out and you light a tree or a shrub, that tree or shrub is going to burn and you're going to smell the stench of that burn. But in this particular instance, the Bible says that it caught Moses' attention because he saw this fire flamed around this bush, consuming this, burning this bush. But the fire, but the tree or the bush was not harmed. So it caused Moses to turn and inquire what's going on. And when he did that, this is when the Lord began to speak with him and said, Moses, the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. Remove your shoes or your sandals. So a theophany, God chose to manifest himself, his power and his presence through the fire that was consuming that bush. There are other examples in scripture that we read where God will manifest himself or his glory and his power will be manifest through an earthquake, quake, through fire, through wind, right? On the day of Pentecost. The Bible tells us that while the believers and the other individuals who were in this specific place, that when the Holy Spirit came in, there was a mighty rushing wind that filled that place. Well, guess what? That wind is indicative of the presence and power of God being on the scene. So in this context, what we see is the manifestation of the power and presence of God. But watch this, you all. Notice how each time it said, when these physical manifestations showed up, God was not in these things. Listen, and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Well, if something is a low whisper, then that, in order for something to be a whisper, that means that there has to be a voice. And if you ever had somebody whisper to you, have you ever had somebody whisper to you and they're whispering so low you can't even hear them? But if you just really take the time to focus with clarity and center yourself and tune your ear, then you're able to pick up what that person is trying to say. But if you got a whole bunch of chattering and distractions and everybody around you, you'll tell that person, what? Speak up, I can't hear you. Why? Because you got a whole bunch of distractions and things going on. But when you're able to position yourself, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, in His presence, when you're able to, y'all watch this curveball, when you're able to eliminate the distractions around you, when you're able to eliminate the distractions of social media, when you're able to eliminate the distractions of family members and friends who continue to draw you away from God rather than draw you to God, when you are able to eliminate certain distractions, then you can position yourself to be in His presence and hear from God so you can pick up on that low whisper. For Elijah, the Bible said that it came in a low whisper, and it says, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here? Watch this, you all. Don't miss this. So the first time that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the text tells us that Elijah was inside of the cave when the Lord asked him, what are you doing here? Elijah responded. The Bible says in verse 11, God gave him a directive and told him to go and stand out on the mount before the Lord, before the presence of the Lord. So Elijah was obedient and he did that. And then we're told, as the verse goes on in verse 13, that when Elijah heard it, that low whisper, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What point are you trying to make, Pastor? In order for Elijah to have heard God speak to him the second time, he had to position himself in His presence in order to receive the word that God gave him for a second time. And when God gave him the word the second time, God didn't just stop. God then gave Elijah his marching orders and told him what his next assignment was. And the only way the prophet was able to receive those marching orders is because he positioned himself in the presence of God to hear from God. I'm going to say what I got to say, you all, and I'm D-O-N-E. I'm done. Deuces. See you when I see you. Holla. Peace. And here's this, you all, and it's just real simple. We have to learn how to position ourselves in the presence of God so that we can receive in its fullness what God is trying to communicate to us. And know this about God, you all. God doesn't always work in the same manner at the same time, you all. Come on and walk with me. When it comes to these theophanies throughout the scriptures and how God manifests Himself, God manifests His presence in a number of different ways, you all, which means that God also wanted the people to understand, you just can't get hooked to experiencing my power and my presence in one way. The Bible says that when it came to the nation of Israel, they said that it was a cloud by day that led them, that served as their GPS as they was going through the wilderness. And at nighttime, when God told them to pick up and to travel, the Bible says it was a pillar of fire that led them. It was God's presence and power in the form of a theophany, you all. There's times throughout the Bible when the scripture says that God showed up in physical form, in the form of the angel of the Lord, you all. A theophany. What point are you trying to make? Stop looking for God to show up and manifest his power and his presence in the same way in your life that he's already done it. You can't do that, because when you do that, you will miss the low whisper of God. Don't be so caught up in the grand noise of the rocks breaking and the wind gushing, and you see God come. Oh no, we got to get caught up in understanding that the way that we hear from God is when we position ourselves in his presence. And if we do that, we'll never miss what God is saying to us. If we do that, we will never miss the low whisper. Are you tuning your ear to hear the low whisper from God? Have you been obedient to God giving you a second directive whereby he asked you the same question? God will do that sometimes, you all. God will come and ask you the same question 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. He's doing it with purpose, you all. And for Elijah, it was for a purpose. And next week, we're going to look at that. Next week, we're going to close out this sermon series, because I want you to see how God responds to Elijah. Oh, God comes back and God puts some respect on his name, because he wants Elijah to know, hold up, wait a minute, stop it, brother. You better step outside your body and understand that you ain't the only one who have not bowed your knee to false idols. Woo! Oh, next week gonna be good, you all. So y'all come back. Come on back and join us next week. But we pray and hope that you have been encouraged, and we pray and hope that you will position yourself to be in his presence, like Zacchaeus did, like blind Bartimaeus did, like the prophet Samuel in the Old Testament mother Hannah did when she could not have a baby. Bible says that she went to the temple, or she went before the man of God, and she prayed. She positioned herself. And even when the man of God thought she was crazy, because the Bible says that she was praying, but words, the sound of the words were not coming out of her mouth, but she was praying, thought something was wrong with the woman. Oh no, that sister positioned herself in his presence. And because of her faith, and because she positioned herself in the presence of God, the Bible says that God blessed her with a son when she could not have one. Blessed her with the prophet Samuel. Her husband, her and her husband, believe Elkanah, had Samuel the prophet. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And the Bible says that she and her husband were able to have another child. What are you doing to position yourself in the presence of God so you can hear his voice, even if it comes as a low whisper? God bless you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be able to dive into your word today, Lord God. Father, we pray and hope that something was said that has encouraged somebody in their walk with you. Lord God, we bless you and we love you. Lord God, teach us how to position ourselves so we can be in your presence to hear a word and to respond to that word in obedience. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.